Well, let's talk now to Kingsmill Bond, the energy strategist at the Rocky Mountain Institute. Good to see you. Welcome back to the programme. So I don't know if you could hear our report there, but we were talking about how China is the world's largest producer and consumer of hydrogen. How has the Chinese government supported that development of hydrogen energy?
So the Chinese government has been, above all, supporting the development of green hydrogen. And in fact, the really interesting story in hydrogen globally now is green hydrogen, to what degree you can electrolyze water, split it into hydrogen and oxygen, and get costs low enough. And actually, although your reporter didn't mention this, that this is where China is also actually leading. So it looks like certainly by the end of this decade, China will be producing green hydrogen at a price comparable with standard production of hydrogen. And that is a very, very exciting moment, because we've seen elsewhere in the energy transition, whenever you get cost parity, then you get growth up an S-curve.
So what are the challenges in making both green hydrogen and regular hydrogen, if you like? You talked about the extraction, but is it also in changing the whole infrastructure?
So the main challenge is you have to get cheap enough electricity, which, again, China's doing out west with its southern wind farms. And then you have to get cheap enough electrolyzers to convert that electricity into hydrogen. And again, China has lower electrolyzer costs than other places in the world. So at RMI, we're very, very focused on China getting to 100 gigawatts of electrolyzer capacity to produce around 8 tons of green hydrogen by 2030 at a comparable cost with standard hydrogen. And when we get to that moment, as I say, the second challenge will be what your reporter was talking about, which is deploying hydrogen in different areas. And trucking is one area, green ammonia, green steel. These are other areas where you also need a lot of innovation. And again, you know, China and many other places are also chasing after leadership in these areas.
So it sounds like China making strides in this area. How does what China is doing compare to what other countries are doing?
Well, the standard, as you know, the standard global playbook is that China in the solar industry, the wind industry, the EV industry, the battery industry has been able to develop enormous scale and drive costs down to a very low level. And once that low level of cost is achieved, then growth, it rolls out in China and indeed in other countries. And that's what we are starting to see now in the hydrogen space as well. China's actually deploying deploying electrolyzers faster than other countries and getting costs down more rapidly than in other places. I mean, the game is not yet over. The battle is still being raged all over the world. But at the moment, China's doing it more rapidly than others, as you would kind of expect.
So what's the future for hydrogen? Do you think it's going to end up superseding other forms of energy, sit alongside it, or perhaps fall short of their potential?
Well, hydrogen is often described as the champagne of energy. That is to say, it's what you do for the most difficult areas. It's more expensive than other energy technologies, but it can be used in a wider variety of areas. So from our calculations, hydrogen will be needed for, let's say, the last 5 to 10% of the energy transition. It's really actually a 2040s story, but you nevertheless need to build for that 2040s story. The real story today, for what it's worth, is solar, wind, batteries and electrification. They're much cheaper, much easier, much better ways to solve problems, but it's highly likely we will need cheap hydrogen, and it's good that folks are doing it.
Kingsmill, great to talk to you today. Thank you very much for being on the programme. That's Kingsmill Bond from the Rocky Mountain Institute.
Thank you.